Hi, it's Randy Morrison, Associate Editor of thecorporatecouncil.net. I'm here today with Ravel Gwynn, a partner with Bradley Arendt Bolton Cummings. As we're reminded by the media daily, cybersecurity is increasingly important for every company. Recently, the U.S. government prompted the issuance of a framework for cybersecurity activities. In this podcast, Ravel discusses a framework and the implications for companies in all industries and of all sizes. Ravel, thank you so much for taking the time today to discuss the framework and its application and implications.
Randy, thank you and the Corporate Council for asking me to participate in your podcast presentations. Cybersecurity is indeed an important, actually an imperative part of every organization's operations. And I'm pleased to have a chance to talk about the new framework.
Terrific. Can you please explain the framework and how it's intended to be used?
The framework you refer to was issued on February 12th of this year by the National Institute of Standards and Technologies, or NIST, N-I-S-T as is generally called. And it is entitled Framework for Improving Critical Infrastructure Cybersecurity. It is the framework that is referred to and required under Executive Order 13636, which President Obama issued in February of 2013. The executive order and the framework, as well as a related NIST roadmap for improving critical infrastructure cybersecurity, which also was issued on February 12th of this year, are important parts of the United States government's current initiative to increase awareness of the need for robust cybersecurity practices and programs by all companies in the so-called critical infrastructure industry segments. These documents are available online. The framework also is the result of a process in which NIST personnel met with groups of industry representatives from the 16 critical infrastructure industries during a period of months last year. They issued a draft framework in October of 2013 based on the comments of these groups, and then the final version of the framework came out in February, as I mentioned. The framework is voluntary, and that's important to remember. It allows a critical infrastructure business to assess its current state of cybersecurity, to determine what changes or additions should be made, and then to use these targets as goals to work forward toward and to assess its project. It's intended to be flexible, and it does not require a specific group of steps or actions by a user. Instead, it asks the business enterprise to use it as the framework as a tool of assessment in the context of that business's specific goals, business goals, its best practices within its industry, and its own budget. Using the framework will allow a business to determine the changes or additions that it should make to its cybersecurity activities over a period of time. And even the period of time is something that that should be determined by the business. It shouldn't be too short, because that probably can't be organized. Shouldn't be too long, because you do need to get it done. Why do we care about this group of activities, which are not a check-the-box or an adopt-a-written-policy-and-put-it-in-the-drawer group of activities? Well, it's because at last there is some type of tool that allows a company to do what it needs to do in its particular situation. So, long story short, one way of characterizing a cybersecurity assessment under the framework and the related targeting and progress towards some kind of goals is that it is a risk management tool. And every management group uses risk management tools for different types of risk assessments. So whether you are an enterprise or an organization or even an individual, you need to be aware that cyber intrusions, cyber disruptions have some level of damage or cost, and of course you would want to minimize that. So analyzing opportunities for intrusions or disruptions and improving the robustness of your security is a way, theoretically, of managing that risk, and implementing those a robust program is a practical way of handling the risk.
Great. Okay, you indicated that NIST targets critical infrastructure companies. Why is it important for companies outside critical infrastructure industries to be aware of the framework and how its use and content evolves?
Well, first, let me just identify who what some of these critical infrastructure companies, industry segments are, because there may be those listening who may not be familiar with this. The federal government has determined that among these 16 categories, and again, this information is available online, are financial services, healthcare, energy, transportation systems, chemicals, communications, food and agriculture, information technology, of course the defense industrial base, and certain types of critical manufacturing. That's a very, very broad range. And because of its breadth, there may be companies that don't realize that the framework focuses on their type of business activity, and they may not understand that they should consider using the framework to assess the status of their cybersecurity and to determine what targets or changes or goals should be implemented. For companies and organizations across the board, and without regard to whether or not they are within the critical infrastructure industry, the issuance of the framework may be important for other reasons. And I would emphasize the word may, because we are at the very beginning of this process, and so it is an evolving one. Several of the reasons that the framework may be important in terms of risk management include the following. First, federal and state agencies may decide that some type of cybersecurity assessment, based on the framework or otherwise, is important for various regulatory requirements. In addition, federal agencies and departments may require their vendors, that are those private companies that sell to governmental or agencies, that they have a cybersecurity program assessment and provide information about what they are doing. The Department of Defense, for example, as well as the General Services Administration, have already announced that in certain types of procurement activities, they will expect to see, they will have cybersecurity requirements. Secondly, there may be changes in commercial procurement activities. For example, a company that is managing its supply chain and the impact of the cyber intrusions or disruptions on its supply chain could require its vendors to conduct a cybersecurity assessment and provide various types of reports regarding the cybersecurity status of the vendor. Conversely, the very same company, in its role as a vendor to a third party, may be required by the third party to which it delivers its goods or services to conduct a cybersecurity assessment and provide the third party with a variety of information. These may be contract requirements. You may not bid on a procurement unless you can meet these requirements. So we don't know exactly where that will fall out. In a similar vein, joint ventures, acquisitions may require due diligence activities that involve cybersecurity assessments or cybersecurity status reports. And these provisions are likely to appear in representations and warranties or in other places in the contract. Fourthly, insurance carriers may base the availability or cost of insurance on cybersecurity assessments and results. And there may be reporting requirements for various types of insurance, and that is not to say that this would necessarily be limited to cyber insurance. It may be more broadly based. Fifthly, there may be a change in the way damages are treated or measured or mitigated, particularly where a party can show that it regularly conducted an assessment, it had targeted goals that it moved to and achieved and reassessed, and perhaps that may have some mitigating effect on a situation. And of course, I'm sure there will be additional ripple effect activities that we can't anticipate, and we will just learn about those as they evolve. But in working through the possible impact of the framework, it's important to remember that it also may become the minimum standard for commercial or regulatory agencies or some other governmental agency, and that it has only been issued in version 1 and that other versions are anticipated. So in sum, this is an evolving landscape, and there are likely to be changes in the way in which it is organized and implemented, and it is also only one aspect of a company's cybersecurity risk management activities.
Okay. Has there been discussion of cost containment or incentives to defray companies' costs of implementing and adhering to the framework?
This is an excellent question because every business has budgetary concerns and constraints and must operate within those parameters. Regarding incentives, the answer is simply yes, there has been discussion of different types of incentives, but none have been announced. So whether there will be any type of incentive and the form and the benefit of the incentive and when and how it will be used are all details that are yet to be fleshed out, and that's news to come. That having been said, the absence of an incentive should not delay a company's analysis of the extent or the schedule or the cost of conducting an assessment under the framework. First, the framework is voluntary, and it does not impose a deadline or a time period on a user. It is up to the user to decide when and how to use it within its own business goals, operations, budgets, and other factors that may be relevant or specific to the company. Arguably, this voluntary approach will permit a company to select a course that is cost-effective and efficient for it, and to implement the goals and the changes in a cost-effective and efficient way. Secondly, and conversely, a company should consider the potential cost of not conducting an assessment and of not working to reach targeted goals. Given the possible ripple effect of the framework and the whole notion of a cybersecurity assessment, the cost of not conducting an assessment could include lost contracts, lost business opportunities of another type, lost customers or customer confidence, and certainly unexpected damage claims. No company wants to be caught flat-footed with a cyber intrusion or cyber disruption and to learn from its technical folks that if only it had assessed the implications of Y and undertaken to change Z, that the intrusion would have been minimal or non-existent. That's not risk management of the type that most companies engage in, and the cybersecurity area should not be exempted from the standards that normally apply. So managing the risk is an essential senior management function, and these risks, both of an intrusion or a disruption, have great consequences to the company. Senior management always is concerned about resilience and endurance, as well as protection of the brand name, and cybersecurity assessment is part and parcel of managing that risk. So to conclude, the management of cybersecurity is an evolving landscape. The framework is a voluntary tool, which may be important or useful to an enterprise, particularly those in the infrastructure, critical infrastructure industry segment, but to a number of other enterprises as well. It may have a ripple effect throughout a variety of areas, including insurance and regulatory compliance. Everyone understands that cyber intrusions and disruptions will occur, and it is the management of this risk and the management of these events that will allow companies to sustain their operations through the events, to demonstrate resilience, and to retain the performance and customer confidence and brand integrity that they have before the event. So with that in mind, stay tuned. This is a changing arena, and there'll be more news, and perhaps if we have an opportunity, another podcast.
Thank you, Ravel. This information has been so informative. I appreciate your spending the time.